You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
All right, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? All right, great, great. It's so good to be here with you today. I'm excited about today's message. How many of you guys know Adele? Anybody know who Adele is? Some of you are so holy, you don't want to raise your hand. I promise you, we won't look bad at you today. Well, some of us might, but I won't. Hey, look, Adele is a singer, obviously. You heard her music right there. That's her song, Rolling in the Deep, off of her album 21. Now, she wrote that album, obviously, after she wrote the album 19. She is so creative. She names all her albums after how old she is, right? I should start naming all my sermons that way, except they would all be 30, because I'm not older than 30 ever. I'm going to just stay 30 until I turn 40. I'm going to do every 10 years. But Adele wrote this album called 21. Now look, the story goes, something I read, is that 19 was a good album, right? She did well with 19, sold a lot of records. But whenever she went to the studio to write 21, the story goes that she had to shut down the project for lack of creativity and lack of inspiration. She had to shut down the project because she just couldn't be inspired to sing or write or do anything. And then one night, she goes home and she's with her boyfriend. Now, she's not saved, so you got to just forgive me for that. I know y'all are so holy, we don't talk about unsaved people. But she goes home with her boyfriend and she gets into this huge knockout, drag out, whatever argument with her boyfriend. They're screaming at each other. They're going at it. And the next day, she calls a producer and says, meet me at the studio. Today, we're going to continue our message called Powerful and Effective. And it's all about prayer. But the thing is, we've told you how to pray for 3 weeks, right? We started off telling you how to pray in the Spirit. We read that verse all the time about the Spirit helps us pray. We don't know what that means, so we talked to you. How do we allow the Spirit to help us pray? The second week, we came in and we talked to you about how to fast, because if you're like me, fasting's no fun, right? I don't like to not eat. I love food. I love, love, love food. Amen, right, baby? You know. My wife knows I love to eat, and I can pack it on. And then the third week, we talked about praying together and the importance of us getting together and praying. That's why I'm so excited about small groups kicking off next week. You have your chance to sign up for small groups. They kick off on the 8th, but you have your opportunity to sign up next week. I'm excited about that because we need to be praying with each other, okay? But we've told you how for 3 weeks. Today, we want to talk to you about why. Why you pray. Why, whenever you don't feel like praying, when you don't feel like getting up, when you don't feel like going to someone's house, why, whenever the preacher says we're doing 21 days of prayer and fasting and you're saying, I don't want to fast, why do you fast? Why do you pray? So today, that's what we're going to focus on. Why don't we pray this morning? Lord, I love you and I thank you for this day. I'm excited about what you've got to say today. And Father God, I'm excited to receive from you. So I just pray today that you would help us all to just be open and willing and ready to receive whatever you have for our lives. Let it impact us. Let it change us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you turn with me to 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know what? I'm just going to use my Bible app. I mean, chapter 11. Now, Friedrich Nietzsche said this. He said, if a man has a why to live for, he can endure anyhow. If a man has a why to live for, he can endure anyhow. In other words, when someone says, how in the world did you do that? If you got a why to live for, you can endure it. I love watching, you know me, I like watching those shows on like Nat Geo and Discovery. And I like the ones about survival. And people survive these crazy, random situations. And a lot of times when they survive and someone asks them later, how in the world did you make it through that? They always have a why. I did it because. I survived because. So I want to look at somebody in the Bible that went through some of those situations. This is Paul, the apostle. Now, Paul's dealing with a problem here. And the problem is he's got all these other preachers coming in preaching a false doctrine, right? They're preaching a bad word. And so Paul is writing to the Corinthian church to help these guys out. And he starts writing about himself because he's kind of mad. And that's what I love about Paul. He's just real. And he'll get mad sometimes in his words. And so here's what he says in verse 23. Starting there, we're going to read a little bit. It says, are they servants of Christ? And then in parentheses, he says, I'm out of my mind to talk like this. In the parentheses, he says, I am more. In other words, are they servants of Christ? I'm more of a servant of Christ. I work harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. And I've been exposed to death again and again. Let me pause right there for a second. What Paul's saying is, he's saying these false preachers are showing up at your church and you're listening to them. But let me tell you something. I will outwork them. I will outpray them. I will get beat up more than them. I will go to prison more than them. Sounds like somebody's getting in prison back there in the kids area. I love it. I love hearing them scream. That means my son's having fun. Verse 24, it says, five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I would have never gotten back in a boat. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of pastoring all these churches. My man was hurting. He was struggling. What in the world would drive somebody to go through all that? To be shipwrecked three times, to be beaten up, to be pelted with stones. Let me tell you something. If someone in the church decided to start hitting me with rocks, at that point, I think I'd resign. I just thought, look, I can serve God at McDonald's just as easy as I can serve God here. You know, you ain't got to throw rocks at somebody. Paul pursued the desire of his heart. He pursued his destiny and his purpose, even though everybody around him was hating on him and hurting him and casting him out. He's wrecking ships. He's having all this terrible time, but yet he was still going after it. What causes a man to do that? I want you to look in another verse real quick. Flip over with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Now, if you don't have your Bibles, we're going to put it all on the screen. If you do have your Bibles, it's great to underline, highlight, whatever. But look at this. Paul says this. He says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Let me break that verse down for just a second. When we talk about having a why, having a drive, what drives you, what pushes you, what motivates you, Paul says this. He says, keep up your zeal and have spiritual fervor. That word zeal there in the Greek means motivation. It means to move. It means to be quick. In other words, he's saying, don't slow down. Don't quit. Don't give up. Be motivated, right? Be motivated. Sometimes we think of motivational speeches as a bad thing. We think, well, no, we don't need motivational speeches. We got the gospel, right? Just preach the word. That's motivation enough. But Paul's saying that at some point you've got to be motivated. You've got to have something that motivates you, that pushes you. And then he says, be fervent in spirit. That word fervent there means to boil or burn. It also means ardently passionate. So what Paul's saying to you today is, he's saying, I want you to be motivated in serving the Lord and doing whatever it is God's asking you to do. I want you to be motivated. I want there to be a fire down inside of you, a boiling down inside of you, something that is constantly churning and moving and burning that propels you forward. If you look at an old steam engine, remember the old steam engines, right? And you remember the movies, they had the coal. Like the car that was the coal right in front of the engine, and they had the one guy with the shovel, and he's constantly shoveling in coal into the furnace there, and it burns, and then the train goes. Paul's saying you need to keep that fire burning. You need to constantly be boiling over. You need to have something inside of you that propels you forward. You know, whenever we go through prayer and fasting, there's going to be times when you do not want to pray. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's plenty of times I don't want to pray. Plenty of times I get up in the morning and I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to pray. I just want to veg out, right? I just want to chill out. I know that doesn't make any sense since I just slept for however many hours, but that's what I want to do. And that there's got to be something inside of me that pushes me. Whenever I run or I go to the gym, any of those kind of physical activities, you know, it's really difficult for me. I hate running. I don't know if anybody else hates running. to me, it just seems like a waste of time, right? I just hate to run, especially on a treadmill, because I feel like I'm doing work and I'm not going anywhere. So I hate to run, but what motivates me is if I will go out and I will sign myself up, like for this week, I mean, this year I've got a race coming up in October. I'm going to take Gabriel. He and I are going to run in a Spartan race in Mississippi. So he's going to run in like the kid version of it, and I'm going to run in the adult version of it. And so what motivates me is whenever I get out to run in the mornings is I'll think to myself, now you're going to run in this Spartan race and you want to be able to finish the race. So you've got to run today. Even though you don't feel like it, even though your feet hurt, even though your knees hurt, you want to finish this race, so you better run, right? Now in these kind of Spartan races, there's also like physical things you have to do. You run, you climb a wall, right? You go under barbed wire. You do fire. There's fire out there. You got to jump over the fire and all this kind of stuff. Sounds like a blast. I know, I'm excited. But here's the thing. Whenever I go in the gym and I'm working out, I've got to think to myself, okay, you don't want to do one more set, but there's going to come a point where you have to climb a wall, so you better do one more set. Why do I do that? Because I need internal motivation to do anything. I just need it. And so I set up for myself these scenarios and these games that motivate me to push myself further. I heard a guy one time, I thought it was really funny, but very good. He said, what motivates me to be a better husband? He said, here's what motivates me. He said, I play these games in my head that whenever I go out of town, I may have told you this before. He said, whenever I go out of town, I just imagine in my head that some younger, more wealthy business guy is going to come in and try and take my wife from me. He said, so what I do is that motivates me that before I go out of town, if I'm going to be gone for 7 days, I'll get all of her scrubs. His wife is a doctor. I'll get all of her scrubs and I'll iron a whole week's worth of scrubs for her, right? He said, I'll get up in the morning at 1 o'clock in the morning and I'll start cooking chicken and I'll get chicken. I'll have it all in Tupperwares and I'll have food in Tupperwares for her so that every day when she gets up, she's got her lunch made and her clothes ironed. He said, because I know this. That other guy may have more money than me. He might drive a better car than I do, but he will not iron my woman's clothes, right? So he plays these games in his head, and it motivates him to be a better husband. So sometimes we have to have that kind of internal motivation. What's going to motivate you when you pray? What is your why? So if you're taking notes today, you need to ask yourself one big question today. What is my why? What is it that's going to drive me today? Let me tell you what should never drive you. Heaven should never drive you to do anything. Heaven should never drive you to do anything. I hear people say all the time, oh, I just can't wait to get to heaven. Oh, I just can't wait for this life to be over, for me to get to heaven. Let me tell you something. If your only drive, if your only motivation in life is to get to heaven, then you're going to become a very lazy, selfish Christian. Because there's so much more to life than just going to heaven. That's the end reward. That's great. We want that one day, but that should not drive us on earth. If that's the case, then everybody that gets saved, we may as well just shoot them, right? Just shoot them, send them on to heaven. That's it. That's all there is to live for anyway. We'll probably all go to jail, but there'd be a lot of people in heaven, so that's important. I guess that's good. We got to have more of a motivation than that. We got to have something else besides just heaven. So let me just look at somebody in the Bible, the book of Daniel. If you want to flip with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel shows us three different things that motivated him. Now, Daniel is one of these guys in the Bible. Like, if you want to learn about prayer and fasting, you read Daniel, right? Because Daniel understands it. Daniel knows how to pray. He knows how to talk to God. So I'm going to give you three quick things, if you're taking notes today, three quick things that you can use as a why that will motivate you whenever it comes time for prayer and fasting next month. Next month, we're doing 21 days of prayer and fasting. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now this is the story. This is the story about Daniel when he got thrown into the lion's den. So let me set it up for you real quick. What's happened is these guys don't like Daniel, right? They hate him. And so they go up to the king. They say, hey, let's make up this new rule that nobody's allowed to pray to any other god except for you. King thinks, I like that, you know, so yeah, sign off on that bad boy. But they throw in there, if someone does pray to any other god, they got to be thrown into a lion's den. Well, they know Daniel prays all the time. So whenever the decree is sent out that everybody that doesn't pray to the king, when that decree gets sent out and Daniel hears the decree, This is what happens. Check this out. This is amazing. Verse 10, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room with the windows open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. Let me tell you what Daniel's why was in that situation. His why was his faith. His why was his relationship with God. The Bible says that every day he got down on his knees three times a day with his windows open and he prayed and gave thanks to God. He said, I've got such a relationship with God. Even if they're going to kill me, I could care less. I've got to continue my relationship with my Father. One of your motivating factors when it comes to prayer, when it comes to fasting, should be your relationship with God. Not that you're trying to get God to love you more, but that you just want to be more in tune with Him, that you want to continue that relationship. I'm going to tell you right now, if someone told me, they said, Gabriel, listen, if you don't stop talking to your wife, then we're going to dock your pay. I would say, dock my pay. I'm going to talk to my wife, right? Because I'm motivated to talk to my wife because of our relationship and our love for one another. I want to have a relationship with her. Daniel said, I could care less what the punishment is. I've got this relationship with God. So whenever you get up in the morning or whenever you're fasting, whenever you're praying, if you can't find any motivation, one of the things that should motivate you is you got to say, I got to have a relationship with God, and it can't stop. It can't just be a once a year thing. It can't just be an every so often thing. It can't just be a Sunday morning thing. I've got to have such a relationship with God that it's a daily thing. So God, today I get up, I don't feel like praying. I don't want to get down on my knees today. I don't want to crack open the Bible today. But God, today, because I love you and because you love me, let's hang out. Even if it's 5 minutes, just hang out with Him because you've got relationship with Him. Let your faith be a why. Let your faith drive you. Look at another verse in Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, verse 13. The second thing that can drive you, the second thing that can push you, and I like this one. This is the story here where the king has had a dream, and I told you this one last week. If you were with us last week, you heard this one. The king has a dream. He wants somebody to interpret it, but can't find anybody to interpret it, right? And not only that, he wants somebody to know the dream before he even tells them. So he puts out this decree, kill everybody. Kill all the wise men, all the magicians, all the sorcerers. Kill them all because no one can interpret my dream. So listen to this. Verse 13. So the decree was issued to put all the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends and put them to death. You know what was motivating Daniel that day? His future. His future. It didn't have anything to do with his relationship with God. He said, God, they're about to kill me. Now, before it was, they're going to kill me if I don't talk to you, but this is my faith. So this time, his future was driving his prayers. He said, God, there's a destiny. There's a future you've put in me. I'm going to read this verse in just a little bit. But in verse chapter 1, the Bible says that God gave Daniel the ability to interpret dreams. So there's a purpose and a destiny in his life already that God has already called him to. And so he says, if they put me to death, I'm missing out on everything you've called me to do. So God, today I've got to pray. Today I've got to fast. Today I've got to seek your face. I've got to seek an answer. Daniel was motivated. He was driven by his future. Sometimes when you don't want to pray, when you don't want to fast, when you don't want to do those things, sometimes you got to think about, what is my future? What is my purpose? What is my destiny? There are plenty of times when I don't always want to get up and pray. There are plenty of times when I don't want to get out there. And last year, whenever we did the 21 days of prayer and fasting, I had the dumbest fast I've ever had, and I will never do it again. But I told myself every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, no matter what morning it is, I'm going to get up and I'm going to run 1 mile and pray for that mile. Don't do that. That's hard. Y'all, some of y'all looking at me like, 1 mile, what a sissy. Bro, it was tough, man. I am a sissy when it comes to that. I hate running. And so I would get up there, and I would run every morning at 5 o'clock, and I dreaded it. But I would get out there, and I would say, God, you've got a purpose and a destiny for me. You've got something bigger than me. God, we got to do something in this city. You got to win some souls, God, and you're going to use me to do it. So today, even though I don't want to run and I don't want to pray, I don't want to do this, I'm tired, my legs hurt, my feet hurt, but today, because there's something bigger out there for me, I'm going to chase it, I'm going to go after it, I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, right? I was motivated by my own future. Sometimes The Bible says in Lamentations 1:9, it says that Israel forgot about her future, and therefore she fell. She didn't consider her own destiny, her own purpose, and so she fell. Some of y'all got to think about that. Now look, we did a study a few weeks back, maybe a few months back, and we just did a quick little survey around the church. And the survey was, what are some things that you want to hear preached? What are some things you want to hear taught, maybe in small groups or from sermons? And we asked people, don't put your name on here, but just put on there your age and how long you've been serving God. You know what, when the most popular choice for people that were like 60 and older was? One of the most popular choices of things to be taught for 60 and older was, what's my purpose? What is God's will for my life? Why? Because even though some folks may be getting older, they're still wanting to pursue their future and their destiny. They're still motivated. There's still fire boiling over inside of them to say, I've got to pursue something bigger than this. There's got to be something bigger than my job, something bigger than just what I'm doing right now. And so they're motivated, they're pressed, they're pushed. Daniel was motivated by his future. So we get motivated by our faith, our relationship with God. We get motivated by our future, our purpose, and our destiny. And then look at Daniel. The next one, Daniel chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 2. And listen to this. This is a prayer Daniel prayed. Now, Daniel has just had some visions. He's had some dreams. Daniel's been reading his Bible, right? He's been reading the writings of Jeremiah. We've read Jeremiah before. If you've gone through the lifejournal.cc, if you're reading that with us, you've read Jeremiah. And Daniel has been reading Jeremiah. And so it says this in verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, in sackcloth and ashes. That ain't just a normal prayer. That's not, Lord, thank you for this food. Amen. Right? This is, I'm getting down to the nitty gritty. I'm laying my face on the ground. I'm crying. I'm calling out. I'm ripping my clothes. I'm doing whatever it takes to get God's attention. And then it says, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Verse 5, this is important. Listen to this. The key word in verse 5 is we. Everybody say we.
We.
We have sinned and done wrong. Now, when did Daniel sin and do wrong? He didn't. Daniel's a righteous dude, right? Daniel's serving God. He's doing everything he's supposed to be doing. But the Bible says here, his prayer says we. We have sinned. Right? Verse 5, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. And it goes on and on and on. Daniel continually repenting and asking for forgiveness for something he didn't do. Let me tell you what motivated Daniel that day. What motivated Daniel was not his relationship with God. That was good. It was not his future, right? That was good. He understood his future. He understood what he was doing. What motivated Daniel that day was his family. His friends and his family. He identified himself with Israel. He identified himself with his homeland, with his people. And he said, God, if they've sinned, I've sinned. And so therefore, forgive us. I repent for us. I repent for us. I repent for those people that are a part of me. There's plenty of times I don't want to pray. Plenty of times I don't want to do stuff. But you know what motivates me sometimes? Sometimes it's my family. Sometimes I get in there, I pray, and I don't even know what to pray, and I just start off, I think, if I can just get going today, if I can just get a little push, a little nudge today. And so I know my default start prayer is I can pray for my wife. I know I can pray for her, and I can pray for my kids, and that usually leads me to praying for you because you're my family, so I pray for you, and I just begin to pray, and that kicks off my prayers a lot of times when I don't want to pray, when I'm not motivated to pray. I get motivated, I get pushed. My why is my family. My family. We've got to learn to pray, and we've got to learn to be motivated by something. Be motivated by your faith. Be motivated by your future. Be motivated by your family. What's your why today? What's going to drive you today? We've got to be motivated. Let me end with this kind of final thought here. Again, sticking with Daniel, we're going to look at Daniel 1:17, and then we're going to skip over to Daniel 7:1. And so Daniel 1:17, it says this, it says, to these four young men, talking about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Let me end with this thought right here. If you get a why, then you can go to the next level. If you get a why, you can go to the next level. Some of y'all have been saying, you know what? I've been at this point in my spiritual walk for a long time. I've been at this spot in my spiritual walk for a long time, and I'm ready to move. I'm ready to step out. I'm ready to go one step closer. I'm ready to step it up a notch. I'm ready to kick it into another gear. How do I do that? You've got to have a why. Daniel, the Bible says, was given the ability to understand visions and dreams of all kinds. I want you to underline the word understand there. Understand there. Now look over at chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel... Now, let me just back up, pause, back up. All throughout the book of Daniel, he's interpreting dreams for Nebuchadnezzar. He's interpreting dreams for this other guy when a hand comes and writes on the wall. He's always interpreting somebody else's dream. Look at verse 1 of 7. Daniel had a dream and a vision. Let me tell you something. Daniel went from having the ability to interpret someone else's dream to having his own dreams. What happened? He had a why. He had a why. He stepped it up a notch. Instead of him just always having to rely on someone else to have a dream and him interpret it, now all of a sudden he's having his own dreams. Now all of a sudden he's having his own visions. If you want God to give you vision for your life beyond what I tell you, beyond what you may read, if you want God to step you up another level, then you've got to have a why. You've got to have something that will drive you. You've got to be fervent, fiery in your spirit and in your passion. Otherwise, you'll never step it up a notch. Adele calls her manager, calls the producers. Meet me in the studio. It's time to work. She's had this just terrible fight with her boyfriend. They break up. It's awful. She's crying. The next morning, she shows up at the studio. She sits down in the studio, and her and the producer, they just begin to write. She just begins to write raw emotion and raw feeling down. She ends up writing the song, Rolling in the Deep. She stands up, and whenever she stands up without music, without anybody singing, I mean playing for her, she stands up and begins to sing, Rolling in the Deep. As a matter of fact, it was so raw that as she sang it, then the guy that was producing it began to try and come in with some instruments. The story goes that if you listen to the song throughout the song, there's a part where you got this heavy drum beat, boom, 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 boom. And it says that the reason they did that was because they wanted to match her heartbeat. She's steady. Her heart is pounding because she's so upset. She's so mad that as she sings and they play, they're just trying to keep up with her. If you listen to the song Rolling in the Deep, they said this. They tried to record it again. That was they made a demo out of her first initial one take recording, and they tried to record it again later, and they said it did not have the same emotion and feeling behind it. So they actually took the demo, that first one-take recording, and put it on the CD. If you listen real closely, I had to put in my earphones as I was listening to it. If you listen real closely, you can hear the guy in the sound booth saying, one, two, three, go. They did that because it was the first raw, unedited, just emotional, coming from the gut. She just began to belt out this song. She stayed in the studio, continued to write, continued to work. All of a sudden, later on, as she's completing her album, she finds out that her boyfriend that she had is already engaged to another woman. They've only been broken up a couple months, and now he's already engaged. He's already moved on. So she calls a friend of hers and says, meet me in the studio, right? And so they show up at the studio, and this guy begins to play the piano, and she begins to sing a song called Someone Like You. And as she sings this song with just the piano, she turns it in to the producers, and the producers say, no way, this song won't make it. The song's not that good. It's just you and a piano. But we can't put a song with just you and a piano. There needs to be more. She said, don't you touch that song. That song isn't for them. That song is for me. That song came from in here. That's for me. Let me tell you something about Adele. Her album, 21, she went on to win 7 Grammys. And I don't know, like 13 Billboard Music Awards and all kinds of Brit Awards, all kinds of different awards for her music. Why? Because it came from her raw emotion. She had a why. Before, she didn't have any inspiration. She had zero motivation. But all of a sudden, through her pain, through her boyfriend breaking up with her, all of a sudden, she gets this motivation. Rolling in the Deep starts winning awards. Someone Like You wins awards. They're asking her to sing at music awards and the Oscars and all kinds of places. And the song they ask her to sing, Someone Like You, the song they said shouldn't be on the album in the first place. Why? Because people connected. They connected to her why. They connected to what was behind her. I'm not saying today we pray out of pain. I'm saying today you pray out of a why. You pray out of a passion. You pray out of something. You need to dig deep. You need to find what is important to you. What are you passionate about? And let that push and provide you with prayer material. Amen? What's your why this morning? What's your why this morning? I gave you 3 of them. I gave you 3 of them. You need to go home. You need to pray about that. You need to go home. You need to read over that. You need to say, my family, my future, My faith, my family, my future, my faith. God, what is it today that's going to motivate me to pray and seek your face? What is it that's going to motivate me to pray and seek
you? Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.